Breaking news. Guess who finally breaks his silence? Christopher Steele of the Steele Dossier. We'll talk about that and more with Rick Rennell today on Secular.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Most of the world first heard your name about 5 years ago, but you stayed silent up until now. Why speak out now?
I think there are several reasons. I think the first and most important is that the problems we identified back in 2016 haven't gone away and arguably have actually got worse. And I thought it was important to come and set the record straight.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
So you stand by the dossier?
I stand by the work we did, the sources that we had, and the professionalism which we applied to it.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so Christopher Steele, he's back. And he's back to defend his dossier. You would think that after the Mueller team went through the phony dossier and found that the allegations in the dossier were in fact false, and Christopher Steele turns it around and says, well, no one's shown me evidence of being false. Well, if something didn't happen, there's not a lot of evidence to show that it didn't happen. It just, there was no evidence that it did happen. The burden was on him. The burden is on the one making the allegations. The one who, and the people who he made these allegations against said it was untrue. And then the top prosecutors in the country come together with in a special counsel team, and guess what they find? Oh, why? Right, Crossfire Hurricane, all this stuff with Christopher Steele working with Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr and Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS and being paid for by the Clinton campaign, and now a Clinton campaign attorney, Sussman, facing trouble because he lied to the FBI about his connections to the dossier, about how he got the information in the dossier. So now is the time. The mainstream media, surprise, surprise, wants to begin resurrecting Christopher Steele. So even on the points where Christopher Steele has been proven absolutely wrong, I mean, which is on basically the entire dossier should be thrown out because there's so many errors in it, and there was an entire Mueller investigation that found no collusion. So if you find that there's no collusion, then the whole baseline for the dossier falls apart from there. But, you know, we learn about how Christopher Steele was upset with the FBI for not using this more, and then upset when the FBI announced that they were looking into Hillary Clinton's email server, so that's when he went to the press. He now says he regrets going to the press. Maybe that's because of the lawsuits he's facing in the UK and the fact that all of his work now comes under scrutiny. But I want to go right to Andy Economou, who's a former prosecutor, because, Andy, this information, the top prosecutors in the country were assembled on the Mueller team. Now, that's not saying a lot about some of these guys, but they were seen that way by Washington, D.C., at least. They were the top Washington, D.C. and New York team, and they came up with nothing. They came up with no collusion. They had the dossier, and there was nothing in there that assisted them in their investigation. In fact, I would say, looking back now, it probably hurt their investigation.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Jordan. You had 18 prosecutors on a team assembled with Mueller at their head, and then you've got $40 million that are spent, and really this dossier is discredited because they won't accept it, and they won't believe it to be anything Steele claims that it is. And in point of fact, it is a document that is, as we have said, salacious, lugubrious, false, mistaken in all its aspects, in all its ways, and now he's trying to resurrect his credibility and probably resurrect his business a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, this is a guy who is was in serious trouble when all this started falling apart. He started facing lawsuits. He went into hiding, yet he has now reemerged. Let me tell you why I think he's reemerging. The media wants to recreate this narrative. Donald Trump might run again for president. His name is still out there in the news a lot, President Trump's name. And the idea that he's the leading candidate, he is. By any polls, he wins the nomination if he runs in the next presidential election. Of course, the midterm's coming up as well. He's endorsing candidates. So they're trying to drag it all back out. They want to drag the country through this yet again. We come back. Want your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. Why Christopher Steele? Why do you think he's out of hiding now?
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Too secular. Let me say this first, before we get back into Christopher Steele. Colin Powell, someone who at 84 years old passed away from COVID. He was vaccinated, but he also had was battling cancer. So I don't want you to take anything there and say, well, you know, vaccination didn't work. I think, you know, he's 84 years old. He was dealing with some serious other issues, including cancer. And we haven't seen him out in the public a lot in the past few years. But he was a groundbreaker and spent most of his life serving our country. And I think that had a lot of respect on both sides of the aisle. There were people on the left who didn't always like what he had to say, people on the right who didn't always like what he had to say. But presidents trusted him to advise them, first as a national security advisor, then as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the first Iraq war, the Gulf War, and ultimately as the Secretary of State for George W. Bush, serving three U.S. presidents in the U.S., serving in the U.S. military. And so let me just say our thoughts and prayers to his family. But thank you. Those are the kind of Americans, you know, who dedicate their life to public service. He was groundbreaking, first African-American to be Secretary of State in the United States of America. I mean, so major accomplishments, both for himself, the nation, but also the country, because of the way he led his life. So a goodbye, unfortunate goodbye to Colin Powell. He'll be, I'm sure, missed on the especially when it comes to foreign policy and national security discussions, regardless if you always agreed with him or not. It was something, it was such a part of the American institutions, specifically when you look at Republican leaders in the White House who turned to him for national security advice, to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to be the nation's top diplomat. So I did want to take a minute there before we jump back into Christopher Steele. He's also a Vietnam veteran who served two tours. It was interesting. He joined the military before the March on Washington in 1958. This was just someone dedicated to serving his country and to, in some sense, staying outside of the political processes directly, though he was a Republican for the most part, and that's who the administrations he served, respected on both sides of the aisle. Now, I want to go back to Christopher Steele, because you got to be wondering, why is Christopher Steele back yet again? And we talked about the idea that, is he back to save his credibility, Or is he back because people like George Stephanopoulos and the mainstream media want to start hammering this narrative against Donald Trump again? Russia, Russia, Russia. Just take a listen to George Stephanopoulos. Ask him, did your credibility get hurt by the fact that the FBI, Crossfire, Hurricane Mueller found that your report was not accurate? Take a listen, bite four.
Do you think it hurts your credibility at all that you won't accept the findings of the FBI in this particular case?
I'm prepared to accept that not everything in the dossier is 100% accurate. I have yet to be convinced that that is one of them.
I mean, so there you go, that he's not convinced that you can't, that not everything in the dossier is 100% accurate. He says he'll accept that, but he has not yet been convinced that parts of it are still not accurate. Now, let me go to Harry here, because Harry, this is, to me, it's a classic move, but when the FBI found that the collusion didn't occur, so there was no collusion, there's nothing more to show him, because it didn't occur. If something didn't happen that you alleged happened, there's not much to show. It's just you were the one that was wrong.
Absolutely. So I think if you look at the dossier carefully, if you look at the whole campaign to smear Donald Trump with collusion with Russia, this was always about the next election. In this particular case, the 2016 election. And what is hidden by the Steele dossier is the fact that the Hillary Clinton campaign more likely than not did in fact collude with the Russians in order to achieve victory. It turns out she achieved defeat. But if you look at the specific allegations in the dossier, questions remain unproven. So did Michael Cohen go to Prague? There's no evidence. Did Donald Trump engage in the salacious behavior alleged by the Steele dossier? There's no evidence. Did Christopher Steele fabricate the dossier? I think there's a mountain of evidence, including evidence that comes from the FBI. And so this process, however, of coming back into the spotlight by Christopher Steele also places Jake Sullivan, President Biden's national security advisor, in the crosshairs, because there's some evidence that he may have indeed committed perjury himself with respect to the Clinton campaign's involvement in spreading false and misleading stories about Donald Trump. We now live in what appears to be an alternative universe, wherein the Democrats engage in massive collusion in order to basically win an election, and then they accuse the Republicans of engaging in the behavior that they have engaged in for perhaps years. So I think at the end of the day, I think most American people will conclude that Christopher Steele has a distinct difficult relationship with the truth, and he is now engaged in a campaign of self-congratulations for his own ability to fabricate.
Yeah, I mean, when I read this, you know, and we get the comment, Scott, on Facebook, and why was Steele never brought in for questioning by the FBI and Congress? But he'll speak to ABC News. Andy, Christopher Steele was unwilling to cooperate. He went to the media instead because he was mad at the FBI for not utilizing the dossier, which I guess he was getting insider information from people like Bruce Orr about. So he was mad that they weren't spending more time with his dossier. So he went to the media, which then led the FBI to spend more time on his dossier.
Well, that's exactly right, Jordan. He was disappointed that the FBI did not give him the time and space that he think he deserved to have on this, so he goes to the media and he spills his guts and so forth. But the question that I always ask is, why is he resurfacing now after 5 years following all these allegations and all this activity? What is he doing? What is the reason for this? What is the reason that he has come back into the spotlight? And that brings up the question is, why is ABC News and Stephanopoulos, giving him another platform to espouse and to spout off all his salacious rumors and all his ideas and the things that he said in the dossier. And it's, to me, another indication of an unprincipled power grab by the Democratic media. And what is it really based upon, I think, in my opinion, is a fundamental apprehension, a fear, a terror that they have of Donald Trump. They can't stand the idea that Donald Trump might still be a power figure in American politics, 2022 not being that far away. And so they resurrect Steele, they give him a platform to talk on, and they ask him the question about, do you believe that what you wrote is good? Oh, yes, it was all professional, it was all done in the right way, and I stand behind it, and I find nothing to criticize about it. And I ask the question that I ask myself is, why now? Why do you have to do this now? What is your reason for doing it now? And it's, again, this apprehension and this fear of what the Republicans may do in the midterms, and especially Donald Trump.
Yeah, and let me remind people, because I want to make this clear, Christopher Steele was someone who worked with the FBI directly until he got mad about them not utilizing his dossier and went to the media, and then they cut him off. Now, they cut him off as a source, but what we know, Harry, is that they continue to use his dossier even into the nation's most controversial court system, the FISA court system, to get that FISA warrant to be able to surveil Carter Page, which in fact then allowed them to surveil the Trump campaign.
Absolutely. So that provides at least some evidence that there were actors within the FBI who also were engaged in collusion to basically put their thumb on the scales and favor one candidate, certainly not Donald Trump. And I think this process of favoring President Trump's opponent has continued throughout the FBI and through the Department of Justice. We should keep in mind that Bruce Orr, as I understand it, still works for the Department of Justice. That Andrew McCabe has just received his benefits from his less than distinguished FBI career. So there are many actors who, from the FBI and the DOJ that have engaged, at least in my opinion, in some form of collusion.
Yes, I mean, I think, again, this is a situation. Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast, former acting director of national intelligence, to get into why Christopher Steele rearing his ugly head.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
To Secular, we are joined now by our special advisor for national security and foreign policy, Rick Rennell, who's last position in the Trump administration, acting director of national intelligence. We thought, you know, with Christopher Steele rearing his head yet again, this time we got a brief kind of preview of the documentary that will be coming to Hulu tonight on the Out of the Shadows, the man behind the Steele dossier. It's like a man behind a fiction, a piece of fiction. But I want to go, Rick, right to you, because, Rick, the idea that he's being brought back out, that he's reemerging, but also that the mainstream media is part of his reemergence and they built him this documentary, to me, it's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, the only thing I want to hear from Christopher Steele is an apology, because the fact is he knew, absolutely knew, that the information that he was presenting was baloney. And he knows that to be true, and yet his excuse is, well, in the intelligence field, you know, we're never sure. But this was all about politics, a presidential race. He could have stopped it. He could have come clean early to say, hey, I was wrong. My sources were wrong. And he didn't. He allowed this whole abuse to happen. And I blame him. I blame him and his recklessness. And so the reemergence of him is really to try to rehabilitate him, like the Washington types constantly do. He was useful for them, and so now they're going to try to rehabilitate him. But he should be run out of office, run out of town, and apologize for putting one over on so many people for so long.
It was a bizarre situation, Rick. Obviously, we all dealt with this in our own ways. We dealt with this, the president's legal team, because of Mueller. But, you know, even after he was supposedly in this interview, you know, he talks about being upset that the FBI wasn't using it enough, and he was someone the FBI worked with. And so then he made the decision, which ultimately got him his contract ended by the FBI. He was fired because he went to, of all publications, Mother Jones, about as left wing as you can get, and spilled all the dossier. And yet, when he took that move, and even when the FBI cut him off, Mueller and his team were still using that dossier to go into FISA courts to get secret warrants on American citizens.
Look, it's unbelievable, and this is the frustration that many of us have with the current investigation, the Durham investigation, because I don't believe that anybody on the outside was the main culprit. What we know is people on the inside of the FBI and DOJ knew the facts, and yet they ignored the facts. I also have to say that we should call out Ben Smith, who was the head guy at a publication called BuzzFeed. It was a blog, basically. And they published this. They were the first ones to publish it. And in a very Washington way, Ben Smith pretended like this was the duty to push this out. But here's the problem. We talk a lot about misinformation and the responsibility of journalists. And this was misinformation. This was wrong information. He knew it. Ben Smith knew it. Steele knew it. DOJ and the FBI knew it. And yet they decided to push this because it was anti-Donald Trump. And back then, all rules were suspended. As long as you went after Trump, you could say or do anything. But Ben Smith, who's now at the New York Times covering media, was the original culprit, and he raced to do this, and he raced to push out misinformation, and it's shameful.
This idea in the intel world, Rick, and this is kind of generally because Christopher Steele, do we have the sound where he says, well, no one has shown me the evidence that it wasn't true? Do we have that one? Yeah, they haven't released that sound yet, but they released the statement that well, until someone shows me that it wasn't true, you know, I'll believe that maybe some of it's not 100% accurate. But you know, Rick, that idea in Intel, that isn't the burden of proof on him? I mean, he's the one who's got to show that this is true, because it, like Mueller's team, who was out to get Trump, I mean, they used it, they looked at it, they found nothing. If you find nothing, that is the proof that you're wrong.
Look, I have to be very careful here, yeah. Jordan. From my days back of reading compartmentalized information and knowing a lot, but let me just state this: I believe that we should always, in the intelligence community, remind policymakers that intelligence is an estimate. Sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong. But if you present your raw material as fact and you don't share those individuals who are saying that this information isn't correct, so that you give the full estimate to policymakers, then you are at fault. And what we saw with Christopher Steele and all of these other individuals is they presented their information as fact, even though they knew that others were saying it wasn't fact. There was information that directly contradicted what they were presenting, and they didn't come clean and present this as an estimate or as one idea. They presented this as absolute fact. And that's where they manipulated intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, it's just infuriating, because this led to so much divisiveness in the country. It led to Mueller. It led to President Trump having to spend a lot of time, as I can, you know, acknowledge, outside of work hours, outside of his time as president, but so much time trying to distract the president. I will say it was impossible to distract from the job for the American people. But it was like he was doing double time, because he was responding to these allegations the same way we're talking about, which is, how do you disprove things are wrong? Well, they didn't happen. There's no evidence that they ever happened. The banks weren't working together. The campaigns weren't working with Russia. The list goes on and on. But to me, it just...
One thing, Jordan.
Yeah.
But let's be very clear of what we're talking about. These individuals said that Donald Trump was a Russian asset.
Yeah.
That was their charges. They tried to make the entire country, DOJ, FBI, BuzzFeed, Ben, all of these reporters, they tried to convince them that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. That was so far away from the evidence, and we didn't have a skeptical media, we didn't have a skeptical DOJ, we didn't have a skeptical FBI, and it's shameful. It needs to be fixed. Their credibility is ruined.
Yeah, I mean, this to me, Rick, and I appreciate you coming on short notice to talk about this, because I thought your insight would be so critical. The credibility here should be ruined, but I still just want to tell our audience, and Rick, appreciate you joining us today. Thank you as always, and for being a part of our team at the ACLJ. I want our audience just to be watchful, because it's one thing if this is a Hulu documentary that kind of disappears into the universe of streaming information, that's one thing. But if this is that attempted, as we talked about, resurrection of the information and of Christopher Steele and of the allegations that were made, and they want to force President Trump to have to yet readdress them once again, even after the Mueller team with all their top prosecutors found nothing, no collusion, which was the whole basis of what the dossier was about. Take out the salacious stuff, which was also untrue and unfounded. The basis was, as Rick said, that Donald Trump was a Russian agent conspiring with Russia to win an election and then would be a Russian agent as president of the United States. Pretty hardcore stuff. Found all not to be true. So why are they resurrecting this guy? Think about that as we go to break.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Fight!
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo, and I appreciate you all for staying with us second half hour now. I think that information from Rick Rennell is so important. I mean, they're even getting to the point now where it's, did Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, lie about knowing this information about President Trump? Because remember, Michael Sussman, who is a partner at Perkins Coie, a law firm in that was representing the Clinton campaign and the DNC, they were the ones that, again, that hired this, the dossier, and used Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS to get the dossier done. Well, now we're wondering, because Jake Sullivan testified to Congress that he didn't know of Fusion GPS involvement in the research here, and he testified twice in 2016 and 2017, and yet now there are people on the campaign, like the top lawyer, who have been indicted by a federal grand jury on making false statements to the FBI. Now, I think, as Rick said, that a lot more needs to become of Durham. It's very frustrating. But it's starting to implicate more and more high-level Biden administration officials. So is that why this is being resurrected? I mean, you have to wonder, is the media just, in a sense, even though they hated Donald Trump, they love Donald Trump for ratings. So anything that could be still related to Trump is worth pushing out and teasing and doing a documentary on. And even if it's all just phony baloney, made up information by Christopher Steele, let's resurrect him too. He's got a nice accent. So take a listen to George Stephanopoulos. He talks about when the world heard his name, bite one.
Most of the world first heard your name about 5 years ago, but you stayed silent up until now. Why speak out now?
I think there are several reasons. I think the first and most important is that the problems we identified back in 2016 haven't gone away and arguably have actually got worse. And I thought it was important to come and set the record straight.
You know, so again, why is he back? Well, I haven't gone away. Things have gotten worse. And what has gotten worse? First of all, President Trump's not in office anymore. Is he implying that Russia, is the Biden team also colluding with Russia? I mean, Harry, to me, I'm sure they, I don't know if they paid Christopher Steele to do this. It's a documentary on Hulu. There's some reason why he is deciding to reemerge, and there's some reason why the mainstream media is resurrecting him. And to me, it's always because it'll always go back to something to do with Donald Trump, probably trying to hurt Donald Trump.
I think that's correct, but I would also give Christopher Steele credit. I would give him credit for being massively confused. So if you look at the 2020 election, if there was any collusion, it was between the Biden campaign and social media firms to basically move public opinion in his direction. So if Christopher Steele now wants to launch an investigation, perhaps he should turn his attention to social media firms and find out how they helped influence the 2020 election outcome. Instead, he wants to resurrect his career as an apparent fabricator. And I would also give him credit for having a fantastic imagination. And so there has not been any corroborative evidence in support of any of his allegations against President Trump. Nonetheless, he holds fast in claiming that there was indeed collusion. So I think at the end of the day, I think we can conclude that Christopher Help needs care, but he needs care from an intervention or from a psychiatrist.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you this question. I'd love for you to respond. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Why are we hearing about Christopher Steele again? Why are we reliving Mueller? Why are we reliving the dossier? Why do you think the mainstream media is bringing back this information and letting him go out there and say, well, no one has actually disproved it, even though the Mueller team did, but now they don't like the Mueller team? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Here is what we, even in the mainstream media, what they point out Christopher Steele wasn't accurate about, that, you know, that he did not have people inside the Kremlin providing this information, that instead the people were in Washington, D.C. providing the information. But he sticks by it. Take a listen, Bite 6.
So you stand by the dossier?
I stand by the work we did, the sources that we had, and the professionalism which we applied to it.
How could you say that? I mean, Andy, at this point, like Rick said, maybe being apologetic because of the $30 million this cost the American taxpayer through the Mueller report, which found there was no collusion, no obstruction, or this leading to an impeachment because they couldn't use this, so they had to use a Ukraine call that 35 people listened to, which was still, you were there, we were all there as part of the president's legal team. Hovering over that Ukraine call was really Russia. That was all really still about Russia. It was just a way to get to impeachment with their information that had come up short. But Andy, this idea that he says he still stands by his sources, I think a lot of these sources were made up. But what we do know is that none of these sources were inside the Kremlin, and even ABC News points that out.
You're right, Jordan. You know, when someone asks a question, do you stand by your document? Do you stand by your dossier? I'm an old prosecutor. And the answer to that is either yes, I do, or no, I don't. But you notice how he evaded responding in that fashion. He said, I stand by the professionalism, and I stand by the ways and the means and the mechanisms. Why don't you just say, yes, I do, and every word of it is true? You know why? Because he can't. This man has manufactured in that dossier a tissue of lies and fabrications. The FBI didn't believe it. It took Mueller forever to conclude that it was not a credible document. We worked on that team, you and I and your father, Jay. We were all on the president's team. We had to hear about the Steele dossier for three years, however long it took for that investigation to go through. Mueller really discredited it. He didn't support it. Comey, the great pious James Comey, even said that there were portions of it that were salacious, which indicates that it does not have credibility. And again, I ask myself the question that I posed to myself earlier, and that was, why are we seeing this resurrected now? Why is ABC News, why is the liberal democratic media giving this a platform at this stage of the game, almost 6 years after it was published? And the reason is the absolute apprehension, the fear, the terror that they have of President Trump. Because President Trump is still looming, a looming omnipresence behind the entire political scene in the United States, owing to the unprincipled incompetence of the current president. And so they say we need to drag out Steele, try to rehabilitate him, resurrect him, and cast another shadow on Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I even get this. I want people to listen to this, because this is how Christopher Steele responded to the reports that this, an inspector general at Department of Justice said, listen, this was a bunch of word of mouth conversations with friends over beers, like just making up allegations. How do you respond to that? Take a listen.
One of your main collectors spoke to the inspector general, said that especially the compromat was word of mouth and hearsay, conversations with friends over beers. It was just talk.
If you have a confidential source and that confidential source is blown or is uncovered, that confidential source will often take fright and try and downplay and underestimate what they've said and done. And I think that's probably what happened here.
He's afraid?
I think anybody that's named in this context, particularly if they're Russian, has every reason to be afraid.
You know, but the fact is, we had the entire FBI, the entire Department of Justice, Harry, the entire Inspector General's office all looking at this. If any of it was proved, it wouldn't matter about that collector of information, whether they were Russian, whether they were trying to downplay, because they would have actually found the information. And they would have been able to verify it. So this whole idea of, well, he had to downplay it, well, that's one thing if they verified the information, but it's a totally different thing when they didn't.
I think that's true, and they would have been able to verify it if indeed there was actual evidence in existence. So what we have is fabrication, in my opinion, upon fabrication, but the real culprit beyond Christopher Steele is the American news media, who have proved beyond question that they are the most gullible enterprise, perhaps, in the history of journalism. And so I think at the end of the day, the journalists have failed to push back. And indeed, in some cases, the FBI has failed to push back, because the FBI was already predisposed to go after President Trump, even if it had zero evidence. So if you look at the FISA warrants issued against Carter Page, what is the basis of those warrants? Were his rights violated? More likely than not, they were. And so I think Christopher Steele basically had a very sympathetic hearing from the FBI, from journalists, and ultimately from social media firms and the American people to some extent. Nonetheless, Christopher Steele's allegations did not win the day for Hillary Clinton.
You know, what I'd like to understand here ultimately is, and Christy on YouTube pointed out, and Rick has said it a number of times, when they start crying Russia, don't take your eye off the ball in China and what's going on with Taiwan. Don't take your eye off the ball of these other international issues. And to me, Andy, that hits home, because I feel like this is one of those other reasons to resurrect Christopher Steele is just a distraction. It's to bring it back up in the news. Yeah, you get Trump in the news again. That gets more eyeballs on it. Maybe more people go over to Hulu to watch this documentary and to try to breathe life yet again. But it also distracts from all the failings of the current administration, who can't get shipping containers delivered to ports.
Jordan, you are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. We don't want to talk about the disastrous departure from Afghanistan. We don't want to talk about the 160,000 people who migrants left into the nation on the southern border with dates to return that they will never see again. We don't want to talk about whether or not the Chinese are imminently going to invade Taiwan or not. We don't want to talk about a $3.5 trillion spending bill that has in it tons and tons of garbage, and would cause banks to be spies for the Internal Revenue Service. So what do we do to distract? We resurrect Christopher Steele and the Russia collusion narrative. We resurrect all these things that supposedly happened in the hotel rooms in Moscow, whether Cohen went to Prague or not. Who cares about that now? Who cares about those things? It is a distraction from the incompetence and the ineptness of the current phantom president of the United States, and an apprehension and a fear of the resurrection of Donald Trump and his brand of republicanism. That's what they're doing. When you say distraction, Jordan, you are correct.
I mean, I just want you to understand that literally, because people kind of get this confused, the first impeachment and the second impeachment, neither of those impeachments had anything to do with what Christopher Steele and the dossier were about. Now, it hovered over it. Like I said, I think that they made up a reason to impeach because they found nothing with Mueller. They couldn't impeach off that, so they needed to find a phone call, something kind of Russia-ish, so it was Ukraine, and it was Joe Biden, and so they will impeach over that. Rush, remember how rushed that impeachment was through the House? Totally, you know, the partisanship of that impeachment through the House. Well, there we were on the Senate floor after just going through Mueller, Andy, and we were defending the president from impeachment over a phone call after he had just been cleared of all the problems, of all the allegations by Christopher Steele, and this whole idea, the bigger idea that the Trump and it was a Russian asset, which is just ridiculous, and that the Trump campaign was colluding with Russia to rig the election.
Well, that's right, Jordan. They can't let go of Donald Trump. Mueller basically clears him. He says he didn't clear him, but he basically clears him. He says there's nothing there, he said, but, you know, and then he tries to put some iffy language in there. So they say, well, you know, now we're going to impeach. But what did you impeach? Did you impeach on anything that Mueller found or any of Mueller's stooges found? No, you didn't. You impeached on a ridiculous phone call, and that got you nowhere in the United States Senate.
You know, folks, we'll come back. I want to take your phone calls and your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. Why is it back again? Is it because they're fearing the next rise of Donald Trump? Is it the midterm elections? Is it just they can't get over the Russia collusion theory? The Adam Schiff's of the world and the George Stephanov, they've got to keep talking about it. Why is Christopher Steele not just a footnote in history at this point and a liar? That's what he should be. Be right back. Final segment coming up. Give us a call. Be on the show. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, we're going to take your thoughts, your phone calls, your comments. I want to wrap this up. I thought it was important to bring up today. I mean, we were the lawyers. We were there. And the fact that this is rearing its ugly head again. I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio program later today talking about it. I was on CBN earlier this morning talking about the Department of Justice intervening in the Texas abortion case, as well as the Mississippi case that'll be up at the Supreme Court on December 1st, the direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. So we'll play some of that for you tomorrow on the broadcast. One of those interviews I already did, and one I will be doing after the show today, of course, on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. Let me play this. This is when Lindsey Graham, good friend of ours, senator from South Carolina, was asking the Inspector General Horowitz about Carter Page and the Russian government and the dossier. Take a listen, Byte 24.
Do you believe Carter Page is or ever was an agent of the Russian government trying to do harm to his country?
I'm going to refer to the evidence we found here, which is that at the the FBI, at the end of these FISAs, told us that they had found no evidence to corroborate the allegations in the Steele dossier related to him.
It's not that clean, folks. They knew and they ignored it.
You know, so again, they knew and they ignored that there was no information to corroborate the allegations. Harry, I go back to this time and time again because Christopher Steele is trying to say, well, you've got to show me the info that I'm wrong. But what they did was they said, we put all this team, we put the full force of the federal government behind it, of our top law enforcement, FBI, and prosecutors. They found zero collusion.
Absolutely. And they were searching for collusion to corroborate their biases against President Trump. So what we have is the deep state at work. The deep swamp basically decided that they preferred Hillary Clinton to President Trump. So they did virtually all in their power to swing the election in her favor. And then after Trump won, they decided to engage in what appears to be a deliberate campaign to impair the Trump presidency. And yet we don't see massive evidence of people paying the consequences. And so one of the things that the American people have consistently demanded in all of this is to hold someone accountable. And I think it will take a long and sustained effort to go after the perpetrators in the DOJ, in the FBI, and in the bowels of government in Washington, D.C., and clean them out. That is a long process, and I think the American people should expect to be in for a very long fight to clean up Washington, D.C., and I support the initiative by some members of Congress to move various cabinet offices out of Washington, D.C., and that might mean that we would lose some of the bureaucrats who prefer to remain in the swamp.
Here's CNN's take on it. Take a listen from Erica Hill from CNN and a former federal prosecutor, Laura Coates.
He said the reason he's speaking out now is I felt it was important to come and set the record straight. Do you think he did that?
No, I don't think he did. I think in many respects what he's trying to do is dig his heels in, and I don't know if it's obstinance or actual belief that what was contained in this dossier is 100% accurate.
You know, again, digging their heels in, Andy, I mean, digging his heels in, unless it's just prepping for Trump 2.0, and the run again, and they think this is going to happen. And listen, the president hasn't been clear yet about whether or not he's going to run President Trump for office yet again for president. But it's like they're prepping it again. How can we start tarnishing him with Russia again?
That's exactly right, Jordan. They're not through with Donald Trump because they fear that Donald Trump is not through with the nation. So what they do is they distract. That's number one. Distract from the ineptness and the Biden administration's failure on all the fronts that I mentioned earlier. And they resurrect the skunk of Russia and try to then tar and feather the president, former president of the United States once again with the Russia collusion story. And they bring this young man, Christopher Steele, with his highly polished British public school accent, and they put him up there, and Stephanopoulos asks him the question, do you stand by your report? And he doesn't say what I would require him to answer, yes or no. He says, well, it was professional. And it, of course, well, all kinds of things that are fraudulent can be done professionally, Mr. Steele. But why don't you answer the question? Is it or is it not a report that you stand by? It's a variety of things that are being done here. Distraction from the ineptness of the Biden administration and an apprehension and a fear of what Donald Trump may do. And that's why they're resurrecting Christopher Steele. That's it.
Harry, it's interesting because Howard on YouTube writes, and this stuff makes me dig my heels in deeper. And that's exactly what it was like during that time period in America. Everybody had their heels dug in. It was extremely divisive. Elections already are very divisive, but this was post-election divisiveness. It continued on through the entire Trump presidency. I will say this. It continues on today. So, and a lot of this, we can point to this British guy who's not an American and his phony report.
I think that's precisely correct. And so one of the things that Christopher Steele has done is he's helped polarize the populace. He has helped polarize the country. That now continues. In addition, if you look at Christopher Steele, if you look at James Comey, if you look at Andrew McCabe, and if you look at Fusion GPS, I think if you look at all of this rationally, what we have is simply a carnival, a parade of ineptitude of massive proportions. And I think the American people deserve better than that, and they deserve to be skeptical and remain skeptical of deep state actors. Are they truly telling the truth? And I think if you look at James Comey, he basically has had a very strained relationship with the truth, and the same thing is true of Christopher Steele. So I think at the end of the day, my takeaway is that fabrication has indeed been multiplied, and it has been multiplied by actors who basically do not put the interest of the American people first.
All right, folks, listen, we didn't get into a lot today, but the DOJ is asking the Supreme Court to put an injunction yet again on the Texas abortion law that has not survived at the district court level, the Fifth Circuit. Now the DOJ asking for that. Now, remember, that's separate from the Mississippi case. We can walk through all those different cases. Did that with CBN this morning. I want you to stay up to speed with everything we're working on at the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculo. Remember, I'll be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast talking about this very issue later on today. We'll put that clip out for me on CBN when we get that, as well talking about the life cases. And as always, let me just encourage you, so much great info at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.